Coming up on podcast 1303, the Tesla Model 3 and Y get new features, and we find out because of an accidental leak online. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, demand for the BMW i4 is huge. There's a new battery plant being built in China, which ties in with VW's plans, and why the federal agencies in the US are being told to go EV, and lots more stories as well. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Thursday, 9th of December. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story, so you don't have to. Oh my goodness, it feels so good to be, firstly, bang up to date, and feeling better. As well, still not 100%, but at least not having to stop after every story on the podcast and, you know, edit out the gaps of, clearing my throat or something. So, yeah, so good to be feeling much better. Man, that was like a week. That was horrible. But thank you so much for your patience and bearing with me. Right, we'll start with news about Volkswagen. They're spending so much money on EVs right now. They've entered into three new partnerships for their EV battery tech. The German automaker is transitioning their entire portfolio of cars, trucks and SUVs by 2040. Now, the three separate partnerships, all announced yesterday, are with materials technology company Umicore, the battery company 24M and Vulcan Energy. Let me tell you all about it. First of all, TechCrunch point out that Volkswagen's joint venture with Umicore will supply them, the European battery cell factories, with cathode materials. That's a building block of lithium-ion batteries. The joint venture will have an initial production capacity of 20 gigawatt hours, with the aim of scaling to 160 gigawatt hours worth of cathode production by the end of the decade. TechCrunch say that Volkswagen said it was investing in the battery startup 24M, developing a semi-solid electrode battery. And the final partnership with Vulcan is a binding contract for what they describe as carbon-neutral lithium that's being sourced from Germany. Of course, we've got six battery factories being made in the European continent for VW, both, I think, wholly owned and also joint ventures. And then, of course, they have binned off the Korean partnerships they have and entirely shifted towards Chinese partnerships for their unified cell in terms of the one battery that'll be in every single VW. Apart from some of those high-end Audis and Porsches, those batteries are going to have a bit more cobalt and a bit more performance. But otherwise, you know, an amazing bit of foresight from VW to go, hey, where do you want to be in 20 years' time? And if you work backwards, what have you got to do to get there? And I think everything they're doing is about right. All three agreements with VW plan to invest 30 billion euros, about 34 billion US dollars equivalent. In Europe alone, VW said it would build the six battery gigafactories by the end of the decade. How much production, though, for all of those six? In Europe alone, 240 gigawatt hours of production. Now, if you take the most famous example of a battery production factory that people know about, and that's Tesla's in Nevada, that'll be somewhere in the 30s. Last I heard, it was about 35, 36 gigawatt hours of annual production. It could be more by now. But that's a very famous example of what people understand to be a battery factory, and it's Tesla's main one, and of course, excluding what comes from Panasonic out of Japan, but still, an amazing number for VW to get to. But, you know, that's for their group, so they need to. Okay, let's talk about a headline piece of news today and a bunch of new features and changes coming to the Tesla Model 3 and the Tesla Model Y have leaked. And they've leaked because of a document that's gone online as part of a kind of a regulatory, I think, or a program here in Europe. New versions of the Model 3 and new versions of the Model Y have been submitted to the European authorities, and in the list of documents, somebody on the European Tesla forums have dug these out, and it looks like that they are moving the 3 and the Y away from 12-volt batteries, which is about time, too, to a lithium-ion battery. Yes, people are always surprised when they learn about EVs and they have this huge lithium-ion battery under the seats, that there is still a good old-fashioned 12-volt battery, very heavy, very old-fashioned in the front of the car, powering all the 12-volt stuff. Now, why is that? It's because, I won't go into a long explanation, because the entire supply chain of the automotive industry makes 12-volt stuff. Windscreen wiper motors, chair heaters, you know, the electric motors that move your chair forwards and backwards, everything, the indicators, the dash, it's all 12 volt, right? And that's the entire supply industry. It should be 24, should be 48 volt. You could make the cabling more efficient and smaller, more lightweight. But either way, you can't do that because everything, if you go to the shop to say, oh, can we have some of these, please, for our car that we're building from the supply industry? Yeah, it's 12 volt, right? So that's changing. Tesla are moving that forward. Lithium-ion battery that's much, much smaller will last for the lifetime of the vehicle going into the 3 and the Y. So great, new owners of 3s and Ys no longer worrying about what's the 12-volt battery voltage, when's it going to die, when do I have it replaced? There is also a new higher performance motor coming to the Model 3 Performance Edition. Also building the new Model Y Performance in China. That comes with the new AMD Ryzen chips for the MCU. That's a very impressive update as well. And all of these are definitely going to filter through to the rest of the car. So we've seen time and time again, if a change happens in China, whether it's the interior detailing, that little dash update they did, or anything, it eventually works its way through the rest of the chain. You know, cars coming out of Fremont as well. So these are cars coming out of China that will be sold in Europe because, of course, Giga Berlin isn't up and running yet. And so the 2022 versions of these cars that are made, like I say, made in China, shipped to Europe, now get double glazing all round. So it used to just be up front to help reduce the noise for the front passengers. Now it's double glazing all around in the rear windows, further improving acoustic performance. There's a bunch of stuff that I could read out, by the way, for hardcore Tesla fans. New infotainment computer chips, new lithium-ion battery running at 15.5 volts, rear laminated glass, interior radar in the Model Y. What's that? What's the interior radar? Something to do with the alarm, maybe? New connectivity card for, I guess that's a SIM card. New super horn, which is a... What is super horn? A super horn is a 3-in-1 horn, alarm, and speaker system. So I guess if someone's breaking into your car or whatever reason you want to set off the super horn, it'll honk the horn, it'll sound the alarm, and it will play sounds from the speaker. Super horn! There you go. New infrared cameras, new windshield washer fluid pump running at 15.5 volts because of that new battery, a new tow bar, new seat mechanisms, secondary restraints have been updated, all sorts of changes to wiring and hinges, and it's an amazing list of things to see that they're updating at the Chinese Gigafactory coming to Europe. They do mention Gigafactory 4, which they have called Gigafactory 4 parentheses Berlin Brandenburg assembly plant in their list of changes to kind of the documents they send to the authorities. They are clearly getting ready for that. They're updating the performance editions brake pads and the material and the friction braking. There's a new vision camera system for auto parking. Look, I'll put that list in the show notes if you want to read more. It's really interesting. Next, BMW are introducing weekend shifts to meet the demand of the BMW i4. BMW plans to work on Saturdays at their Munich plant in the first quarter of 2022 to try and make up for the how much demand there is for the BMW i4. The waiting time is about 9 months, but hopefully that'll come down. It could well climb to a year unless they do something to get that waiting time down. People really want the BMW i4. When asked by a business magazine that Electrive here have quoted, BMW said to have referred to the high flexibility of their production system. We are therefore in a position to expand the volume, they say, for example, by adding more shifts and meeting the gratifyingly high demand, says BMW. I mean, goodness me, working on a Saturday. Shock horror. Who would do a 7-day-a-week podcast? That would be silly. Staying with BMW, the iX has had its Euro NCAP crash test results, and as you can imagine, it's a very safe car. 5-star. The electric SUV grabbed all 5 stars in Euro NCAP. They also pointed out that the test has got a lot harder over the last 20 years. They tested a left-hand drive, xDrive 40, that's the base model, and they said that it did very, very well in 91% adult occupancy, 87% child occupancy, 73% for vulnerable road users, and safety assist tech as well. Now, the xDrive 40 is the entry-level version. You can't get that in the US right now, but it might come around March next year, I think. BMW blog points out that the iX sturdiness stems from the implementation of using carbon fibre reinforced polymer, CFRP, in the sides and the rear sections, as well as the roof as well. Tech carried over from the BMW i3. And lots of standard safety tech too. Right, we're about 10 minutes in, so we'll take a break. Remember that Patreon supporters, get your ad-free feed. Just check out your dashboard and pop that into your podcast app and you get your ad-free podcast. You can sign up to Patreon if you want to. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. That's patreon.com. Whether it's, you know, producer, exec producer or more of this podcast, you can get some benefits. Check it out. Now, let's talk about Tesla allowing people to play video games behind the wheel of a car while it's moving. Now, there's been YouTube videos flying around for a while now of people driving their car and playing video games. Like, they're not meant to, but there's a little button that says, are you a passenger? And you just say yes, and you can drive the car and play video games, which is clearly unsafe, and you'd be an idiot to do that. But it just seems to kind of hit the news. Like, the New York Times have done a big investigation this week about it. Jalopnik have as well. And the Times quotes a Model 3 owner called Vince Patton, who was surprised to discover that he could play solitaire whilst driving. Tesla Arcade is, you know, been around a while now, and people assume that you either can't use it when you're driving because you shouldn't. But he said that he updated his car with the latest software update and then was suddenly able to play solitaire whilst he was driving. But I think this has been around for more than, you know, the most recent update, whatever he updated to. 2021.12.25.6 was the update. Added Solitaire, a jet fighter game, Skyforce Reloaded, the Battle of Politopia, Moonrise, a conquest strategy game. And he said that he was able to get access to all three when his car was driving, and he filed a complaint to the NHTSA. Now, Jalopnik say that in the report, the New York Times cites data from the Department of Transport, more than 20,000 people die in traffic accidents every single year in the US. Distracted driving is attributed to 10% of fatalities on the road. Experts believe the true figure, though, is much higher. Steve Kiefer, who is senior General Motors executive, telling the newspaper, I think the number is closer to 50%. That's 10,000 people dying a year because of distracted driving. Now, some may argue that the responsibility to drive attentively rests with the driver, not the designer of the car, say Jalopnik. They point out the Jeep Grand Wagoneer. It has an additional dashboard mounted display right above the glove box where the front passenger is. But as Doug DeMuro demonstrated recently, that screen has one of those materials over the top of it, a privacy film. I used to see it a lot when I was on the train. And if someone was working on legal documents or whatever, they'd often put like a little thing over their laptop, and you really can't see that screen unless you are right in front of it. So it appears totally black from the driver's point of view. And Jeep are doing that because it's the right thing to do. The driver shouldn't be tempted to just look over a little bit and see what their passenger is either watching or playing on that screen. But Tesla don't. And people are saying, well, it's Tesla's fault and they are going to contribute to road deaths. And other people would, of course, say, don't drive like a moron. And I see both sides of it. I think that companies have a responsibility, a duty of care. But equally, like, I don't own a Tesla, but I wouldn't say no to a Model Y because it would fit our family over the next couple of years. And, you know, I'm sure that my little fella, as he's growing up, and he'll get into kind of watching his iPad in the car and stuff. But also, like, I'm sure my wife would watch things on the screen or play games or whatever, if she could, on the middle screen. All you got to do is hit the button to say, yes, I am the passenger. Could I 100% guarantee that my eyes wouldn't drift down if there was something really compelling on that screen? Well, I couldn't. I couldn't guarantee that. So maybe it shouldn't be allowed. But ultimately, hey, like, the driver's in charge of the car. So if you're driving like a moron and you're distracted, well, there is down to you, but Tesla have a part to play. God, that's a contentious issue, right? Let me know your thoughts. Next in the news, we'll talk about Gotion. Gotion High Tech are building a battery plant in China, in Hefei, the Chinese battery cell manufacturer, and the Volkswagen partner, Gotion, starting construction this week of their new production facility in the eastern Chinese city of Hefei, built in two phases. It'll be 50 gigawatt hours of annual capacity when it's done, right, according to Electrive. The announcement is not particularly surprising, as Goshen wants to increase their annual capacity from what it's about 28 gigawatt hours a year as of the end of last year to 300 gigawatt hours by the middle of the decade to supply various partners like Volkswagen. Part of the production is likely to be reserved for VW. In July, Goshen and VW did a deal to supply the unified cells to the German company. In this context, Hefei was mentioned as a location in the annual production capacity. At that time was put at 20 gigawatt hours, but could well be higher. I'll pop a link to Electrive in the show notes to read more. Now, fleets going EV. It's a really important thing because it cleans up the air, because those are working vehicles. But three quarters of fleet managers say they need a better solution for business mileage. See, over here, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, the people that collect money off us, HMRC, increased the advisory rate for electricity that employers can use for a tax-free reimbursement of business miles. So if you have an EV and if you're doing business miles and you charge it at home, you're allowed to now charge 5 pence per mile, up from 4 pence per mile. The problem is, for company car drivers, with well below half of electric cars capable of operating at 5 pence per mile, when energy tariffs were lower in the past. Now, energy tariffs are through the roof. Like, I've just moved to Octopus Go, and that's 5 pence overnight and 25 pence during the day. So the complicating issue here is that the extreme variance between home charging and public charging is also there. Like, a driver could be paying 5 pence per kilowatt hour at home on their overnight cheap rate, like I do now, because, you know, I will go back to Agile when this weird energy pricing thing is all over. But for now, I've left Agile, gone on to Go, and I'll go back to Agile when I can. And if you're a company car driver and you've got a charge on the go, you could be paying 70 pence a kilowatt hour at Ionity and more. So, hey, really, really difficult to work out a way. Fleet managers say we need to solve this issue. If you know how to solve it, by the way, let me know. I'll pass it on. Now, in the US, Joe Biden...
Trouble hearing you.
Well, I didn't say anything, Siri. I just said Joe Biden. God, no. Okay. Pipe down, please. The Joe Biden administration announcing today it aims to buy their way to a cleaner planet because they're updating the federal guidelines of how the government buys electricity and the cars that it drives. The executive order that Biden signed leverages the buying power of the federal government. It lays out the goals that they want to put in place to go net zero. There's 645,000 vehicles in the federal fleet, and they've all got to go electric. And that was the executive order he signed. You must buy all electric vehicles if you are buying a federal vehicle. The new executive order alludes to a stumbling block called the federal government, calling on the federal government to stop buying gas-powered passenger cars at all by 2027, but also postponing the fleet's complete transition by another 8 years after that. There's going to be a long gap between we can't buy a combustion car, but also we can still run them for 8 years as they get older. So right now, the federal government is taking incremental steps towards their goals. They bought 650 electric vehicles last fiscal year, which is clearly not enough. They've got to buy tens, hundreds of thousands more over this decade. Read more at thewashingtonpost.com. Next, we'll go to China and Ford. Ford say they will source future batteries from, I talk about them all the time, CATL, China's largest battery manufacturer. Tesla went to them to get the best battery tech for their standard range vehicles, and now Ford are doing the same, reaching an agreement with BYD back in 2020 to use their batteries, and now doing a deal with CATL to use their battery technology. Ford, though, are spreading things around. They've got to deal with SK Innovation, LG, Panasonic. Ford and SK had a new battery production joint venture called Blue Oval SK recently announced as well. They got some investments in Solid Power, so they really are getting the batteries where they can. Next, Audi confirming the R8 will get a successor, and it will be totally electric. Don't know when the new R8 will come, but Linda Kurtz, Audi Sports head of product marketing, confirming with CNET, with Roadshow yesterday, the new car will be all electric. After dipping their toes in the electric performance arena with the e-tron GT, Audi Sports' next challenge will be to transform the R segment, and the R segment will be fully electric. It's our job, they say, for the next decade, according to Audi. Now, we don't know when that car arrives, or whether it'll be called the R8 or not, but good news, That's how Audi are thinking. And the final story today. You know the Coca-Cola Christmas holiday truck? Yeah, that one from the adverts. Well, it's going on tour this year, the Coca-Cola truck, which you will instantly recognise for their famous Christmas commercials, is embarking on a real-life tour. And it's all electric. The Coca-Cola truck is pure electric in a partnership with ABB and Volvo Trucks. Santa will be driving the streets of Italy to spread Christmas cheer in an all-electric truck. Santa's tour will see him travel 1,300 kilometres from the north to the south of Italy. He'll make stops at ABB facilities along the way to recharge and meet many boys and girls who know how busy he is this time of year, but still, he gets a chance to drive his all-electric truck around Italy. I wouldn't think he'd get too close to Christmas Day, though, because, of course, he has got to get back to the North Pole, but he, you know, whilst he flies, of course, it is emission-free because it's using the magic of the sledge, the sleigh, if you like, back to the North Pole. So that's what he's doing while the elves are busy making the toys. But good news, he'll be doing that all electric power. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Which EV makers are on Santa's naughty list and which ones are on the nice list? And tell me your reasons why as well. I'll read them out this Sunday. On Saturday, by the way, we have a really good Saturday special interview talking about the finance side of EVs. Now, we don't do that on this podcast. I'm not about, you know, stocks and shares and backing one company and blinds. It's still a big game to me. I don't find any interest in it at all. But I know a man who does, and he's going to come on to tell us all about it. Right, that is This Weekend Promoted. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast on Patreon, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.